Herzlich willkommen zu Mein Element, dem Podcast vom Lützebäuer Journal und Zusammenarbeit mit dem Fonds National de la Recherche.
Maybe it's controversial, but I believe that a man doing exactly my job with exactly the same performance would be, you know, in my place way sooner or would be in a higher place. I wrote my PhD thesis with Eminem in the background, yes. Whenever she hears that Mama is doing something, you know, in space and has a project on that, she gets so excited and I see the sparkle in her eyes.
Mein Name ist Max und heute geht es mit mir mal wieder ganz heiß raus. Nämlich bis an die Weltall. Ich treffe mich nämlich mit der Professor Jamila Awada. Aber nicht Jamila, ob er eine Party kennengelernt hat, dann hat mir sein Beruf folgendermaßen erklärt.
I'll start by saying hi. I am a researcher at the university and I'm leading currently a computer vision team, so a team of researchers. A lot of what I do is project acquisition, meaning funding, and then follows supervision of PhD students. This is a core part of our business. And of course, junior researchers, postdocs. And so caring research and teaching others to care research.
Den 10. November 1982 ist Jamila in Algerien auf die Welt gekommen und hat durch seine Kindheit, Jugend und teilweise auch Studienzeit verbrüscht. Das war aber nicht immer einfach, weil zu der Zeit war ganz Algerien gerade Bürgerkrieg. Von 1991 bis 2002 kommen zu Uschlei, Attacken und Überfall, die eine estimierte Summe von 100 bis 200.000 Leben kosten. Heute ist diese Periode als Décennie Noire bekannt. Die können sich also vorstellen, einfach wäre es damals sicherlich nicht, abzuwürzen und an die Schule zu gehen. Aber Jamila hat die Schule trotzdem durchgezogen und dabei gemerkt, dass es nicht so einfach klein zu kriegen ist.
So I lived there during that time, and it was difficult. It was difficult, especially being a girl, a little girl. Basically, the only way out for me was through studying. There was nothing in my life besides, of course, being at home with my family and studying. There was nothing else, and that was normal. It's a good thing, I mean, to study, but there was no entertainment, no going out. You had to have an excuse to go out. And the excuse is usually, I need to go to school. There is no sports, nothing, no music. And that actually drove me to work harder, to be able to explore and live a different life. That said, I'm very, very grateful to my country because going to the States, I was very shocked that you had to pay, you know, tuitions and fees for studying. While in my country, everything was free. Studying was free and is free. And you take that for granted. But I received, I think, an excellent education in my country that allowed me to survive, you know, in challenging environments, etc. So there is, you know, the hardship and the hardship that builds character that comes with it. So, yeah.
Irgendwann erinnert mich Jamila an eine Athletin, die die ganze Zeit für sich trainiert und sich am Schluss für die Olympiade qualifiziert. Just, das hat sich am Platz von einer Reise in Tokio ein Vollstipendium an den USA erschafft hat. Und währenddem Leute wie ich ganz zum olympischen Motto gesucht hätten, dabei sind das alles, und dann die ein oder andere Vorlesung an den USA wahrscheinlich verpasst hätten, hat Jamila sich ein bisschen mehr ehrgeizig gewesen. Ein bisschen so aller, bah, wenn ich schon auf der Laufpiste stehe, da kann ich auch so sehr wie möglich laufen. Boah, an der olympischen Metapher kann ich das ja noch erzählen. Ich meine, die Olympischen Spieler sind den Highlight von allen Sportlern und allen Sportlerinnen. Aber das Studium an den USA war für Jamila nie ein Hauptbild.
Not at all. And the goal was not to reach the United States. The goal was to get my degree and continue my training. So no, for me, the mission was starting. It's as you said, you know, getting to the Olympics, but then you have to perform. So all the pressure was on me, and I had to maintain that scholarship. I had no, you know, other ways of living. And in the States, a PhD, you have to do courses and you have to maintain excellent grades to maintain your scholarship. So it was more pressure. It was maybe the hardest time in my life. So there was no entertainment. In fact, I had even less time, you know, with family, etc. So it was more disconnection. I think that was the most terrible part of it, is that, and at that time, you know, WhatsApp and Skype, they were operational, but not to the extent we know today. And my family back home in Algeria didn't have this unlimited internet connection. So it was very difficult even, you know, talking to them. And I was always looking forward to that Friday evening where I get those, at that time we had the cards, calling cards that you buy to call abroad, and I would save money to buy those to say hi to my family. So it was more of a hardship than you know, entertainment for sure.
Okay. Nur seiner Zeit an den USA aus Jamila Dünn 2009 auf Lützburg kommen, an dat an den neu gegründeten SNT, den Interdisciplinary Center for Security, Reliability and Trust. Du schaffen heute ungefähr 15 Forschungsgruppen auf verschiedenen Themen und das ganz nur mit der Industrie und der Wirtschaft zu summen. Jamila lädt dabei das Computer Visions Team. Und wie ich für dich gehöre nun Computer Visions, habe ich gedacht, das muss dynamische Technologie sein, wie hat den Instagram-Filter. Und auch wenn nicht ganz falsch ist, kann ich feststellen, Computer Visions ist noch ganz viel mehr.
Computer vision is more than 3D. Huh? Computer vision is really the field where we try to make, emulate the full pipeline of our brain, you know, seeing things and interpreting them. So it's very long pipeline. You have the acquisition, which is the camera, the sensor, acquiring data. It could be 3D or not. And then interpreting the data and understanding it in an intuitive way. So it's this whole process. And of course, it involves a lot of fields. It involves computer science. This is the core of it. Mathematics and sometimes cognition. Talking about filters, yes, it has image processing where we develop filters. So yes, Instagram filters are part of it, but that's another specialty. Holograms, etc. Yes, but these are all sub applications, let's say. But if I had to define it, it's helping machines to understand images that are captured by sensors and cameras.
And where's the difference between that and like artificial intelligence?
Artificial intelligence is today a buzzword, AI. It's a tool. It's a subfield of computer vision. It's a tool that is used for, first of all, the easy part is interpretation of the data that we capture. But today we also use it for processing of the data, for filtering. I think the relevant part of it is machine learning, which mm-hmm. is a subset of the bigger AI group. And machine learning is learning from the data some information. Part of it is interpreting, you know, what is it that a camera is seeing? Is it a building? Is it an airplane? How fast is it flying, etc.? And so AI is a tool for computer vision.
Während der Pandemie war kein Social Media App so gefroht wie TikTok. Und während halt immer mehr Leute aufhängen, über Bildschirme zu tanzen, also gut die echt Politiker und Politikerinnen aus Lützburg ihren Account erstellen, war DAP 2020 noch stärker in der Kritik. Durch den TikTok-Algorithmus sollen Donner gespeichert gesehen an der chinesischen Regierung weitergelegt gehen. So zumindest der Vorwurf. Indien und USA wollten bzw. haben zwischenzeitlich DAP sogar gespart. Und wenn ich schon eine Person bei mir sitzen und die Algorithmen auch wirklich versteht, dann frage ich auch, was sie dann davon erhält. Müssen die Algorithmen öffentlich kontrollieren lassen oder sollen die weiterhin geheim bleiben?
I think I don't have like a clear-cut answer for this. In general, I would say it depends. It depends on the situation and the use case. The default is to open. That's what we do. We usually try to open the science, so open the algorithm, the data that we use for training. Now, there might be cases where I can see it, you know, from industrial partners where there is a need to close part of it because, for instance, you know, if you develop an algorithm to authenticate your data, if you disclose all what is in it, you basically make it prone to attacks. This is where, you know, there are cases where it can be justifiable that you have to close the algorithm, close in a sense, not disclose what is in it. But in general, I would go with the open science in general.
Ganz am Anfang vom Episode habe ich schon geteasert und ich muss wirklich sagen, mir als Star Wars Fan sind dann aus dem Kopf gefallen, wie Jamila mir erklärt hat, was das hat geschafft. Hat er seine Kipp, habe ich eine Kooperation mit dem britischen Startup LMO Lift Me Off. Und mit dem schaffen sie einen autonomen Software- und Hardware-Lesungen, die hier innen gebaut gehen und dann rup an der Welt all geschossen gehen. Für mich hat das so viel geheißt wie krass, Jamila baut in einer 4-Stufe zum R2-D2. Hat selber wurde aber ein bisschen ernster ausgedrückt.
This is a completely different type of project, in the sense it's application in space. And the goal there is to have to reach full autonomous navigation in space, especially for applications such as debris removal. So we were actually in the lab a few minutes ago, and it's about having a chaser recognizing automatically a target, be it a debris or another spacecraft, and knowing its position, estimating its correct position in space, and being able to track it so that we can operate, grasp it, etc. So it's super exciting, super important project that is different from what we have done in the past. And this is the type of project that I really like, where you get to learn a new field, new challenges, and you put our technology, which is computer vision, in the service of another application. Now, the deployment is probably something that will take a bit longer than the body sensing type of application, but we're starting through the lab, the zero-G lab that we visited earlier, where we take it from simulation to lab, and the next step, we hope, space.
And how hard is it to be a pioneer? Because I found an interview where I said there are like a handful of study groups who work on this on the entire world. So you do something that's basically new to everyone. So is it hard to be a pioneer or is it more exciting?
It's always more exciting. Now, are we pioneers? Yes, there are a handful of labs doing that, and especially coming with, let's say, in-depth knowledge in computer vision and deploying it in this type of field. Usually it's using technologies that or algorithms that are already defined. Here we're trying to design new algorithms for this application. So it's very exciting. It is what drives us, is to do this type of projects.
And how hard is it to work in space without being in space?
It's hard. It's hard, but this is why it's very important to have a very good relationship with partners and very knowledgeable partners. And we're lucky with that, with this partnership with LMO, because they fill us in with information. They tell us what to expect. We have our own simulator, so we create data, which is very, very important for the type of algorithms that we are developing. And they help us in telling us, is this realistic or not? What are the models that we need to import and embed in our simulator, etc. So without their know-how and know-how of other partners, it would be very challenging. And we're learning, and they're learning, and this is what makes it very, very exciting.
Wen am Sommer Nachrichten verfolgt hat, der kommt wahrscheinlich mit. Es geht um ein Race to Space. Mehr par rapport zu der echten Kurs zwischen den USA und der Sowjetunion war das kein Kurs zwischen zwei Multimilliardären. Auf der anderen Seite hat man dort den Richard Branson.
This flight was 17 years in the making, with 800 wonderful engineers. So it was, you know, quite magnificent. And it's a dream. It was just a dream come true for all of us, just being able to create a space line that hopefully quite a few of the people who are watching this show one day will go up on and become astronauts.
An den Astronauten am Cowboy Hut, den Jeff Bezos.
I want to thank every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer, because you guys paid for all of this. So seriously, for every Amazon customer out there and every Amazon employee, thank you from the bottom of my heart very much. It's very appreciated.
Die zwei wollten Weltraumtourismus für die Leute ermöglichen, die genug Geld auf dem Tisch legen, für ein Jahr Astronaut zu spielen. Aber Thema Weltraum ist sowieso ein Hot Topic am Club von den Milliardären. Bis 2026 will den Elon Musk München auf den Mars schicken. Und während die Reich rundherum spannen, was er noch alles im Weltraum kann machen, freue ich mich, wie ein Einfluss da tut, ob dem Jamila sein Forschungsgebiet.
Well, I think it helps bring in some investors, you know, so it doesn't hurt. It's a lot of buzz, etc. But also, you know, it's in space, but for deepfake also, we're involved in such projects. All that type of media helps in bringing the funding. So it doesn't hurt us.
And would you like to go to space once?
I'll be honest, I don't think I will be in space, but I have this hope inside that my daughter will. She is very excited about space. She's only 6. But whenever she hears that mama is doing something, you know, in space and has a project on that, she gets so excited and I see the sparkle in her eyes and she wants to go. So I'll do everything so that she'll have that chance.
So she beats everyone at Bring Your Mother to School Day.
Maybe.
And how much screen time do you have in a day?
Well,
estimated.
A lot. a lot, you know. Basically, the answer is if I'm not with my kids, if I'm not, you know, cooking, basically, I'm in front of my screen, which is not good.
My mother always said, go away from that screen, your eyes will become squares. So, is it hard to tell your kids not to watch too much TV, or play with their smartphone if you are already...
I do not allow them. They're very little, you know, 2 and 6. So,
okay, then
yes.
It's
yes,
still okay.
I'm still very powerful.
Am Kader vom Podcast mit Jamila kriege ich auch die Möglichkeit, mit zwei von seinen Team-Member zu schwätzen. Und das fand ich auch extrem spannend, weil es gibt wenig Personen, die mehr über den zählen können, wie die, die Tag für Tag mit einem Büro sitzen. Der neue Bad kennt Jamila seit 4 Jahren. Angefangen hat alles als PhD-Student, mittlerweile als ein Research Associate. Und ich kann mir vorstellen, wann ihr schon so viel Zeit mit mir verbringt, da kann ich noch die ein oder andere Geschichte.
Oh, well. I have known him for over 4 years, a little bit over 4 years, and I can say that it's very, very tasking because she demands a lot from you. She has very high expectation of her students, and especially when it comes to work ethics, she's very, very hardworking herself. I don't know how she does it. She probably works more than everyone in the group. She most time comes before a lot of people. She leaves later. Sometimes at 2, 3 a.m. she's sending you emails about things. I don't know how she keeps up with her schedule. She's so busy. Sometimes you just have to catch her in the corridor to make things happen or to quickly have some conversations about how things are going. But even though that she manages to find time for her students, as I said, she supervised my PhD and I know many occasions she just squeezed out time for to discuss about very important things. And sometimes she's on vacation. Maybe the first day she's offline and the second day she's back online. She's attending to emails and responding and things like that. She's very, very amazing. She's wonderful. She's, for me, she's the best supervisor I could ever wish for.
Neben dem Eubat tun ich auch hier für Mohamed Schwarzen, den aktuellen PhD-Student an Jamila Singh im Team aus. Hin und ich gefragt, was hier dann aufgesehen vom fachlichen Know-how alles von Jamila konnte lehren.
Yeah, I think people are different. So like I before I came, I had some hard time working with others. Jamila in general is the kind of personality that can listen to everyone, can interact with everyone with their different, you know, world view, and everyone has like, no, this is the way to be done, and everyone else is wrong. So I think that from personal perspective, not even from scientific perspective, the main added value for me is understanding that if you are managing people, if you are working with people, you need to understand that people are different. They can have very extreme different point of views. All of them can be heard, and all of them we can interact with them until we reach a middle ground that's beneficial for the main task. Like, you don't discard any point of view because they are kind of like, yeah, this is the way to be done, or that is the way to be done. We can reach middle ground more about what can be done. It's not like just as a... So from mentorship perspective, I think understanding that people are different, they have different viewpoint, and if you wanted to work with them, you need to respect that, you need to work with that, is really main added value.
Me und Jamila Luneko wegen neue Art und Weise können kennenlernen. Durch Leute, die all Tag mit dem zusammen schaffen. Und trotzdem schenkt es so, wie wenn mein echter Eindruck der nämlichste wir. Hat das witzig, schlagfertig, aber gleichzeitig kümmert es sich um Jiderin und es kann ich mega viel von dem lernen. Kein Wunder also, dass er auch ein Team lädt, was dann eine Bereitschaft, den ich sowohl auf der Erde wie auch im Weltraum kann gebrauchen. Hat das einfach eine richtig, richtig gute Forscherin und trotz all den Leistungen, die dafür Tag bringt, freue ich mich, ob es noch immer Leute gehen, die hat trotzdem auf sein Geschlecht zu schwätzen. Und wie hat er auf so froh reagiert? Muss ich ihn so froh in Haut noch stellen oder nervt es eigentlich just noch?
First of all, I don't think that I overachieved or achieved a lot as a scientist. Everything is relative, you know. There is always bigger and higher and better, and you always look up, you know. So I don't feel myself as you described. Regarding the female, you know, scientists, yes, I do get the question. I'm not annoyed by it because I think it's necessary to ask the question because we're still underrepresented. Women are underrepresented in our field, in computer science in general. In computer vision, I think I don't have the numbers, but I think it's relatively better. But in general, yes, we're underrepresented. So asking the question is highlighting that there is something wrong. So I'm fine with the question, and I'm one of those who wants to push things forward and to give more chances to women. So when I'm hiring and looking for the next stars, the next researchers, PhD students, I'm always very excited if I see one who is a female. Yeah, because I believe that we suffer from a negative bias. I believe I myself suffer from a negative bias because I'm a woman, and I want to give a chance to other women and give them a bit of a plus bias, you know, a positive bias, and give them a chance. So, yeah.
So you also had the experience that somebody gave you a negative bias because you were a woman in your field?
I think it's a daily thing. I can't give, you know, concrete examples, but it would be no point. It's something that is inherent. It's something that we live on a daily basis. Maybe it's controversial, but I believe that a man doing exactly my job with exactly the same performance would be, you know, in my place way sooner, or would be in a higher place.
Okay. So do you think there is a solution for this problem?
I think it's by first highlighting that there is an issue, and also working with the newer generation, the little girls, you know, giving them more confidence, confidence in themselves, so that they believe in themselves and express themselves more. Human nature is like that, you know. Being a woman, we are more reserved. It's the truth. In room, you know, if we're too loud, we are immediately labeled as bossy, and we don't like it. We like to be liked. So I think it's about teaching that it's okay. You cannot please everyone. Just go for what you believe in, and just go for it. So it's about training, about explaining things and highlighting the issues. And we're doing that. I think talking more and more is helpful. So being asked the question doesn't bother me at all, on the contrary.
Eng allerlecht froh hatte ich aber noch und Jamila. Und das war auch echt ein Zufall, weil den Tag für ein Interview habe ich das Social Network geguckt. Und da gibt es eine ganz bestimmte Szene, an der Leute von Mark Zuckerberg an einer Art Tunnel waren.
That's a doorbell. I didn't know we had a doorbell.
Andrew, get the door!
No, he's wired in. This house and this team are great. It's exactly what it should be. I'm Sean Parker.
Oh, he's wired in.
That's what I'm talking about.
Und schon immer gefragt, ob so ein Art Tunnel oder Zone wirklich gut. Also ob Leute sich können für einen Computer setzen und so tief antauchen, dass sie längst jetzt nicht mehr mitkriegen. Und ich habe noch schon viel darüber gesagt, wenn ich schon eine Person bei mir habe, die über so etwas schwätzen kann, doch profitieren ich auch für all mich froh, lassen zu gehen.
What you call the zone, yeah, I call it the flow, finding the flow, and it's very enjoyable once you are in it and you find it. What do I do to get there? I think it's very intuitive. Everyone has his tricks and ways. For me, I think I like to have everything organized. you know, all the must-do tasks done before, you know, sitting down and isolating my mind. And then, yeah, I like to have music on. And usually it's weird, but it's one song, two, three, four at maximum, repeating. So, I know it's weird. And why? Because I don't want to listen to the lyrics. Once you listen, you know, one or two times, that's it. You know them, so you don't need to focus on them. And finding the right position, because you have to stay long time in front of your computer, and that's it. Yeah, usually if I like what I'm doing, then I get into that flow, and it's very enjoyable.
And is the special kind of music?
No, it changes. It changes, and it has to be fast music usually for me. Slow, yeah, I would not do it. But it changes. I have moments. You want me to give you a name?
I hope to. At least the genre.
Pop music. Yeah, it would be rap or pop. I know it's, yeah, rap music. I was telling my PhD student that day that I wrote my PhD thesis with Eminem in the background. Yes.
But that would be the coolest
that's
PhD.
The truth. Well, I don't think it was the coolest, but that's the truth. I used to, go to coffee shops very late at night with the Eminem in the background and just write.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
I think it was a very great interview, and I hope that you had also a little fun.
Yes, yes. I think it was very, very good questions that make you reflect also and think a bit. So it's good to have this moment, and it's good that we have it in July.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
For the Will Jamila, what up? Please stand up. That war die neueste Episode von mein Element an, es waren extrem viele Themen mit dabei. Bürgerkrieg in Algerien, Feminismus an der Wissenschaft und natürlich der Weltall. Wenn ihr mehr über Jamila aus der Forschung wissen wollt, dann geht ihr in die Shownotes von dieser Episode gucken. Da findet ihr noch viel mehr über den FNR. Und ich hoffe, ihr habt genauso viel Spaß gemacht wie mir. Wir hören uns die nächste Woche. Bis dann. Ciao.